up?
I thought you were just getting wound up, man. I was going to sit there and just listen tonight. Your arms going up, your legs going up. Wow. Charger's such a blessing. I love that man's heart. Love his heart. So let me just start off by just saying, I am the father of a missionary. Grace likes to say it that we've got one doing grace enforcement and one doing law enforcement, because I got another one that's a police officer. So, which in itself is another mission field. But I have these pamphlets about Ian with me tonight. If you would just like to pick it up and get an idea about what he's doing with his life these days. By the way, he just graduated college this week. For those of you that are friends on Facebook with him, you would have seen him there in a cap and gown, but it was a cap and gown that was made out of paper and cardboard for the cap. They had curtain tassels on his cap. They wrapped him with a tablecloth, and they graduated him from college in Germany. So that's one of them things that young people do. I was all over it. I thought it was just such a great thing. So let me just give you an update on Ian and where things are going in his life before I get to talking, because it just kind of segues right into it. Ian is in his 10th year of missionary work, and he's turning 30 in January. He's a kid that has taken his life and just sold out for God. The way that it's written in the pamphlet is that he kind of has put the American dream away for a greater dream with the King. And so right now he just finished up with his college. He has been asked to come and speak in a conference in Poland. He's been asked with his team to come and minister in another conference in Germany. He is also getting ready to pull his team together, and they're going to go down and spend probably 6 weeks in Izmir, Turkey, ministering to the folks down there along the coast. And then he's also preparing another revived DTS class, which he and his team oversees. And even this far out, it doesn't start until September, they already have 54 people registered for this class. They could potentially see 75 people from all over the world. I think right now 17 countries are represented that's coming in to that DTS for him to train up. And, he's a disciple maker. There's so many people. You know how Facebook, you got to have like 5,000 friends to become get your fan page? He can't be too far from that. The kid's got more friends on Facebook than I can imagine. So he posted his little cap and gown picture, and about 30 minutes he had 200 likes. I'm like, how does that happen, you know? So, but Grace and I are really blessed to be able to have a son that's in the mission field, because it's given us a new appreciation for really everything that's involved with being a missionary and why you go. You know, Grace just came back from the mission field in Turkey and Cyprus, where she went with Marguerite's team. And I don't know how many ladies went over there with you, 10, maybe 9 or 10. And they went over there and they had just a remarkable time ministering to the ladies in those environments. And a lot of the ladies that came in from that particular mission or that field, they came out of Central Asia, Tajikistan and Uzbekistan and all those Stan countries over there. Stefa was with them. And so it was just, When you get involved in a missions calling, something amazing begins to happen. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles tonight to Romans chapter 10. And what I really want to paint for you tonight is a clear picture of God's redemptive plan and really what it entails. Because Charger was right. Every one of us that have been called by God, that we profess our faith in Jesus Christ, when you step into that faith, you step in into a missionary calling. It's just the way it is. And so in Romans 10, verses 9 through 15, I'm just going to read it here. You guys can follow along with me if you want. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture said, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. That's a good word right there, isn't it? For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? It's a powerful picture of God's redemptive plan. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you backwards through these scriptures that we just read. And I want to tell you this also. There is a really great book out right now. It's been out for a while. But it's not for the faint of heart. If you're a Christian and you really don't like to be challenged, don't buy this book. But if you're a Christian and you want God to really challenge you in your faith and you want him to take you to another level, buy this book called Radical. It is appropriately titled, Trust Me. And this is kind of where I'm coming out of this. There's a Baptist pastor by the name of David Platt that wrote this book, and his heart is so on fire for the mission field. So in going backward from these scriptures, I'm going to paint a clear picture for you. So if you go to verse 15, one of the very first things that really comes out in this thing is that God sends his people out. He sends his people out. So as a missionary, we have to get in our mind what that looks like for our calling in the kingdom. What does that look like as far as him sending us out? You know, I say this all the time, you know, every time I get up and speak, it tends to come out of my mouth because it's just something that I truly believe. God does not save anybody into the kingdom to sit them in a chair in church on Sunday morning and that's all they need to be doing, right? If you have an encounter with God and you accept him as Lord and Savior and you make a decision to follow him, it's not about sitting. It's about saying, okay, Lord, I understand what you did for me. Now, what can I do for you? Now, don't get confused. This isn't a works gospel. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that when you begin to capture the heart of Christ, your heart for Christ is what begins to compel you to go out. And you fall in love with Jesus, and you're like, wow, Jesus, what can I do for you? And so each and every one of us are different in that calling and in where God sends us and where he desires us to go. For my son, it was a very unique call on his life. You know, some people that go to Youth with a Mission, they go for a season in their life. They go to a discipleship training school, they do a missions event, and then their missions time is done like that. Ian got in it, and he said, Dad, there's no place I would rather be because I get to travel the world, I get to go see different nations. I get to preach the gospel. I get to bring the name of Jesus into unreached people groups. You know, there's still 1.5 billion people that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. 1.5 billion with a B people that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so when you have your relationship with Christ, one of the first things that you always want to just tell him is that, Lord, it's not my will, but your will. Just do what you want to do through me. You know, Benson and the team sang this song up there a while ago, and I can remember when Brian Johnson released this song, Where You Go, I Go, you know, What You Say, I Say, all this. It was such a powerful song to me because it was one of those times of worship where it was like a prayer to me. Is that, God, I want to go where you want me to go. I want to say what you want me to say, and I want to do what you want me to do. But see, nobody can define for you as an individual where you're going to be sent. You have to get with God, and you have to be able to listen to his voice and understand when he moves you in a direction. Some of you may be sent to the Jubilee. Of course, it's over tonight, but you got a year to prepare for the next one, right? Some of you, he may be sending into your workplaces. Some of you, he may be sending, you know, into your families who may be non-believers. Some of you, he may send you to China. Some may go to Africa. Some may go, I mean, you just have to, you know, don't put any kind of limitations on God, right? So that sin portion is very important. And one of the other things that tends to bind us up with that whole sin piece is fear. right? One of the greatest tricks of Satan is to make you think that if you stepped out into that, that for some reason God is not going to provide for you. When Ian first stepped out into his ministry, you know, we were almost his whole support when he first started. Grace and I was. And now there's people that have come alongside of us and just really begun to help Ian, and I'm so thankful of that. But, you know, Ian had to step through a measure of fear. You know, can you imagine a kid that when he was growing up, he was afraid of a cockroach? He would run through a wall to get rid of a cockroach, right? That was just the way he was, you know. And his little brother sitting on the side, we were in Hawaii. We used to have these little yellow hardworms that would crawl around in our, you know, Hawaii is a tropical country, right? And, you know, Ian would run from cockroaches and Aaron would be eating worms. You know, I had two different sons. But the thing I'm telling you is that Ian had a lot of fear in his life growing up. And now Grace and I look at this kid and we're like, is this our son that's doing what he's doing? I mean, most people today would be afraid to step into the environments that he's gone into. So in order to capture that whole being sent piece, you have to deal with a reliance on God and a dying to self, right? Some of you may have aspirations of that same American dream, and you get to this place where you're like, maybe I need to put that American dream on hold for a while and be able to step into it. But the Bible clearly says in that scripture, he says, and how shall they preach unless they are sent? And then, you know, to back it up, what do his people do? They preach. You know that there is no one in the body of Christ that's exempt from preaching the gospel? Not one person that's ever saved is exempt from preaching the gospel. And you know, you preach the gospel with more than just words. One of the greatest ways that you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ is through love. Words can sometimes be shallow. Skeptics will criticize your words, but it's very hard to criticize a love that brings change, right? And Jesus' love, when I was teaching in here a couple of weeks ago at the men's event on Fight Night, you know, one of the things that I really try to stress to the guys is that love is not one of these words that is passive. Love isn't one of these words that you sit back in a recliner and you just love to be there. That's not what it's talking about. When Jesus, his whole example, and you look at that scripture that says God is love, his whole example is that God's love is very active, and it's very powerful, and it's life-changing. And one of the ways that you're called to preach the gospel is to bring that love into areas that have never experienced it before, or maybe not quite like that. And then to be able to give them a testimony of why that love exists within you. Because God has made that change in your life, and you have a personal testimony that speaks volumes to people when it's spoken in a way, when God touches you with his love, when you begin to share that, that begins to tear down walls. And that's all part of the preaching. I mean, it's good to be an evangelist and get up. I mean, that's part of the giftings, that you can get up as an evangelist and you can preach the gospel. And you can talk about, you know, the birth, the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Those are all vital. But where a lot of it really hits the road at with the church, and we miss this a lot, is that the world wants to see it active in us. They don't want to hear just the words. They want to see the life-changing power that gospel brought to your life personally. And that's part of preaching the word. You don't only preach it with your mouth, you preach it with your actions, right? And if you have the Holy Spirit living within you, that should be a natural outflow of your life. And then, you know, when the third part is that when God's people preach or share the good news, other people hear. Or other people recognize that there's something unique that's been said to them. And then the fourth piece of it says that when the people hear, that they will believe. Now, I've got up and I've done a lot of talking and I've shared the gospel with a lot of people, you know, over the 20 years that I've been saved. And not everybody that I've shared the gospel with has believed. But that's not what the word is implying. He said there are people that will believe, right? That will believe when you get up and you preach. So you see that fourth step there. And you know, and here's the thing. Here's one of the most amazing things. How many people did I say hadn't been reached yet? What? 1.5 billion people haven't been reached yet. And so that there's a lot of tribes and people groups that are out there possibly that haven't been reached with the gospel. But you know what the book of Revelation in chapter 7 tells us? This is a hope that we have, that this is all going to come to fruition. That after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations and tribes and peoples and tongues, all of them, none left out, right? Standing before the throne of God and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. So every people group that is on this earth today will be gathered together around the throne of God one day. That's an amazing thing. To look forward to a time of worship like that where people from every race, every nationality, every remote tribe in Indonesia or Africa or, you know, even the Philippines or I mean, you did South America, all these places, these remote tribes, they're going to show up around the throne of God. And how many people know that radios can't go into tribal areas that don't have electricity? Right? The word has to be brought. It has to be preached. God sends us to do that. People begin to believe. And then the last part of this step of God's plan is that when the hearers believe, they call upon the name of the Lord. And the Bible says they will be saved. Up a little bit further, it says they begin to make a confession with their mouth and they begin to have this belief into their heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and they're saved. All because somebody went. All because somebody said, I'll do this, Jesus. You know, one of the most remarkable things about this, in this whole simple plan, is that there's only one breakdown in this plan. There's only one breakdown point in this plan where it could fail. One spot. Anybody know what it is? Say it again, Vicky. If we don't go. If we don't go. If we don't go and preach the gospel, this plan breaks down. If we don't go. You know what? I hate to tell you this, but I honestly think that there's unreached people groups in Chesapeake, Virginia. I believe that. There's unreached people groups in Virginia Beach. There's actually people that even live in our own community that have never, I mean, they've kind of heard TBN maybe when they were channel surfing, or they might have caught, you know, some televangelist on TV one day, or, you know, they might have heard a prayer at a NASCAR race or something like that. But for the most part, these people have never been presented an opportunity to know Jesus Christ. And the reason that happens is because the church as a whole, we don't step out the way that God calls us to. And see, here's the amazing thing. This kind of ties a lot into to really my own personal philosophy toward evangelism these days. It's really a couple of different things. It's that I want to love people first. I want to love people first and then bring them a gospel that they can see in action. What about a gospel when you stand a lady up in front of a person, or you stand a lady up in front of a group of people that last fall had been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis? Most people in the church would tell you today they've never seen a disease like that healed. They believe it can happen, but they've never seen it occur, right? We've always said we want to see the big miracles. We don't want to, I mean, we understand that God heals the headaches and the sore ankles and the back pains and, you know, all this stuff. But what about these big issues that God is dealing with? So there's a lady that we know, Pastor David's met her, that last fall, she went in and got an MRI done. And in that MRI, they diagnosed her with lesions that were 3 millimeters long. She went back in February, and the lesions had actually doubled in size. They went to 0.6 millimeters long. And she had a bunch of them on her brain. And they're very debilitating. They had her down so hard that she couldn't walk without a walker. She laid around on the couch a lot. She's a young girl. She's probably in her early 30s. And she was just out of it. And her husband went to an encounter, got totally lit up by God, got a whole fresh understanding of God. And all she asked him to do when he came home was to lay hands and pray for her. A month ago, she went in and got another MRI, and all the lesions are gone. She doesn't use a walker anymore. She doesn't use a walk. She was in church this morning. You see her walking around. You would never think that this lady had anything wrong with her. So what gospel are we preaching when we go out? What gospel are we sharing with people when we go out? If you go into the book of Acts, one of the things that accompanied the disciples when they begin to move was signs and wonders. And those signs and wonders came about as a result of Christ's love for the people that were moving through the disciples. And sometimes I wonder that if we truly had the love of God in us, shouldn't that love, that same type of love, be flowing through us? Oh, okay. I've been keeping Pastor David updated on this. So the funny part of the story is this. So she went in and she had that third MRI done on her brain, and they got her up off the table and they didn't believe the results. So they took her back in, they put her back on the table. They did that thing with her brain again. They got her up. They didn't believe the results again. So they checked the security cameras to make sure it was her that was actually on the table. And, you know, that's an amazing thing. And we're actually going to do a video on this whole thing. And we're going to, Jared Anderson's going to do it. And we're going to do a really nice production with it, and just so that we can show the power of God in action. You know, can you imagine the hope that rises up on people when they realize that God can do this kind of stuff? Right? And see, that's the kind of, as Christians, we can easily walk into, we can join with our brothers and sisters across denominationally. We can walk in and bring salvation, which is the greatest gift, right? The Bible says that when we come in and we preach a gospel of salvation, when one sinner gets saved, that all the angels in heaven rejoice, right? So that's the greatest gospel, that's the greatest miracle that we could ever see transpire, you know, on this earth. But what begins to happen in the lives of people when accompanying that salvation is a deliverance from issues that they're struggling with in their life? All because the love of God flowed through a willing person into that individual. You see, one of the biggest things about the kingdom of God that absolutely amazes me is that God chose us his redemptive plan. God, you had all these innumerable angels up there. Why don't you send one of these magnificent beings to come down here and just light up in front of people and get people saved, right? Why don't you just bring the angels down here and just blow people away, right? You know, and Jesus, you can do this. Why, you know, We could come up with all different other kind of ways that we could think God could be more effective in this, but he's chosen you, and he's chosen me to be able to take the love that he has given. And, you know, Pastor David talks about this scripture all the time, but, you know, if you go to, I think it is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, In verse 18, this is one of these things that we have to really get in our hearts and get in our spirits as a child of God, is that, you know, when he saved you and he brought you into relationship with him, you were automatically given a title as a minister of reconciliation. You were given that title to say, okay, now, it's almost like if I had a conversation with God, right, about this, he would say, Chuck, you now have this title. You can put it on your door. You can get a nameplate and you go get it made in the Philippines real nice, right? Chuck Gosnell, Minister of Reconciliation for the Kingdom of God. That's your title. And he says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Thank you, Jesus. That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now we are the ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. Is he pleading through you? As a child of God, one that's been duly dubbed a minister of reconciliation, he's given you that title in your life. There's not a born-again person in the world that hasn't been given that title. Is he pleading through you? What does it look like to plead? I mean, really, what does it look like? I mean, why would they use that word? Is pleading? I mean, the connotation of that word almost lends me to believe like there's got to be almost like an earnest groaning to see the will of God come to pass on this earth. So that people don't go to hell. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he's designated us as his kids to be that minister of reconciliation. So when Destiny gets these mission callings and they go into these places in the Philippines, right? And they're ministering to these people, they're coming back with these stories of a couple of thousand people getting saved. Wow, through the love of God working through medical missions, right? When Marguerite takes her teams out and they go into these different places, sometimes they run into women that are just totally, I mean, the culture that a lot of these women came out of that went to these conferences, you know, a lot of these women that came in were saved, but they needed to hear the love of God spoken into their life. And when we go on these mission trips, whether it be to Africa, whether it be to Asia, it's South America, no matter where it is, what we're actually called to do is go be ministers of reconciliation, to reconcile lost people to Jesus Christ. That's our call in life. And so nobody has the ability to sit here and say, Chuck, I'm not called to that. Nobody. We just need to get that clear. Nobody's got the ability to sit here and say, Chuck, I was never called to be a minister of reconciliation, because that's contrary to what the Bible teaches. And now, he wants you to understand that title that's been given to you, that mission that's been given to you, and say, now go plead. Go plead with others. Show them the love that I had for you. Show them that love. You know, sometimes I wish there'd be a lot more people that can hear a message like this, right? Because I know that speaking in here tonight, I got a lot of people sitting in here that have gone on mission trips, that have an appreciation for what I'm talking about. But man, I would love to see the body of Christ get activated on this message. That they would really become ambassadors of the kingdom. That they would bring that word of reconciliation that Christ has called us into to change the lives of people. Do some people not even realize it's their call? Probably. Do some people have fear about that whole aspect about bringing that kind of word into somebody's life? Probably. But you know, we've got a bigger God than any fear that can come upon us. And once we begin to step through fear, we begin to see amazing things transpire. Once we begin to put down excuses as to why we can't, amazing things begin to transpire. right? So, you love Jesus tonight?
Yes.
Love Jesus? Are you a minister of reconciliation?
Yes.
Right? When you hear messages like this, for a lot of you, like I said, you understand this calling on your life. Use this as a time. Use this as something that God has birthed in you to share with somebody else. Use it as an opportunity to catch the heart of God as it relates to the lives of other people. And begin not only to just expand what you're doing with that call of reconciliation, but within your groups, within the body of Christ, begin sharing it with other people as something that isn't optional for us. Look what he did to you. Look how he saved you. I only need to look back at my own salvation experience and how glorious it was, and it allows me to talk about how good God is just based on that. All the garbage he brought me out of. And to think he's going to use me as yeast, right? And I'm not going to let my yeast just hang out with other yeast, because I don't want to go there, Pastor David. That little thing he dropped on us in the second service, I was like, okay, let's take that one off of there. Scratch that one on the tape. But I want my leaven, my influence, to be in the environments that need it the most, right? So, God's good, isn't he? God's good, isn't he? You know, I just want to do this real quick, because I just think it's important. Is there anybody in here tonight? Benson, can you come up on the piano real quick, man? You guys appreciate Benson? Yep. Got to know this guy's heart. He's got an amazing heart. So, even though Tanisha did dump some dirty secrets on him with me earlier today, so. You know, the one thing that I just want to ask you tonight is this, as we get ready to close. Maybe you're not feeling much like a minister of reconciliation. Maybe you're born again, and you've just never really got to the place where this is real to you. But you know, when you read the Bible, and it says that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Maybe in your life, and you're sitting in here, you know, tonight, you've kind of kept yourself hidden from this aspect of the faith, where you've never really felt like you've been called to do this. I want to tell you tonight that you have. And a lot of times when we don't step into things like this, it's because, like I said earlier, we're afraid. It's outside of our comfort zone. It's not something that we think we're capable of doing. And God wants to tell you tonight that he's equipped each and every one of you to do this. And that everybody in the body of Christ has to participate, because we're all different. We all have different ways of communicating. Somebody that doesn't like the way that I come across on people would absolutely love the way that Charger would come across on people. Somebody that has a gift that can reach into the hearts of people that are really hurting, just because they can look in their eyes and see love. So this ministry of reconciliation can't be just for some of us, because the Bible says it's for all of us. So tonight, if you've had an issue with picking up this title, with wearing that badge, putting that nameplate on your desk, that Ministry of Reconciliation, if you've had an issue with that, I just want to pray for you tonight. I'd like you to stand up. I'd like you to stand up. Because God's calling you to greater things. And He wants to use you to impact the lives of others, because eternity is at hand. It's not His will that any should perish. And there might just be one person that's only going to respond because of the gift that God has in you. Maybe you're called into the faith for one person that's going to be saved through you. You may not be a Billy Graham and have millions. You may have one person that's going to go to heaven because of you and your obedience to stand up and be that minister. So, Father, right now, for each and every person that's standing in this room tonight, I just ask that You would just release a baptism of love over them. I ask, Jesus, that You would allow them to experience You in a way that would forever change their lives. We know that perfect love casts out fear. And so, Lord, on those that struggle with fear and just being able to communicate this gospel, baptize them with Your love. Baptize them, Jesus. If that's you tonight and you're struggling with that fear, I just want you to grab a hold of that statement that says, perfect love casts out fear. Have you experienced the perfect love of Jesus? Let that love compel you into the lives of other people. Father, for those that have built walls around their life and created excuses, Lord, Father, I just ask that You would just touch their heart in a way that every stronghold would be broken down, that they would fall, and that, Lord, Your presence in their life would just take up, just begin to take up every area of their heart, Jesus. Thank You. I thank You. Lord, we just ask that You just come in Your power tonight over each and every heart. That Your love would be felt above all else. The Bible never teaches that You scare people into heaven. It's love that impacts the lives of people. So God, more love. More love. We just release Your presence over them tonight. We just thank You for what You're going to do. And God, over us all, God, we just pray that You would expand the mission calling in our life. That You would give us a heart that burns for what Your heart burns for. That everywhere we could go, we could bring Your presence. Everywhere we go, we could bring Your love. Everywhere we go, we could bring Your peace. Everywhere we go, we could bring Your joy. Everywhere we go, we could bring the healing that was purchased for everybody on Calvary. And most of all, God, everywhere we go, that we could bring a salvation that is transforming. Jesus, you're good. You are good. You are good. I just want to close the night out. I just want you all to stand. The presence of God is tangible in this place this evening. And I want to challenge everybody a little bit tonight. But this is how we're going to close the service. I want to get you out of your comfort zones, and I want you to come forward. If you would, just, if you can, just come forward. I'm just going to pray that the Holy Spirit just begins to fall in this place in a unique way for each and every one of you. I know that tonight in this house, there are people that need healing. I know that. That need healing. And I know that tonight in this house, there may be people that just need to step in to a new relationship with Christ. Or maybe you didn't want to stand a while ago. You were too embarrassed. I just want you to spend this time in worship. We're going to take this last 10 minutes and just worship before we're dismissed. Can we do that? Just begin to lift up your voice. Just close your eyes and just imagine you're around the throne.